Our next presenter is Ms. Joyce Sotolongo. Okay. let's see. Joy is an internal evaluator for Gaston Youth Connected, which is one of 9 national demonstration sites as part of the President's Teen Pregnancy Prevention Initiative. Joy has more than 15 years' experience evaluating education, health, and youth development initiatives.
Good afternoon. I'm just curious, before I start, how many people in the audience work with adolescents or research with adolescents? Okay, good. So many of you, this will probably ring very true for you. So our main question was trying to understand why older teens were not taking advantage of existing free or low-cost reproductive health services. And I have no relationships to disclose. And again, our overarching question is, how can a community move from an underutilized adolescent-friendly clinic to one that's well used? Okay. Let's see. So just a small amount of context, this project the demonstration site is in Gaston County, North Carolina. It's in the Bible Belt. It's in what one individual has described as a recovering mill town, so gives you an idea of just part of the manufacturing rust belt that runs through the South. Our more formal research questions, and I have to clarify about this slide, we asked the teens what did they think in general their peers' attitudes were for regarding accessing contraceptive health services, and then we asked how the project, which is at GYC, Gaston Youth Connected, could reach older teens with messages about the Teen Wellness Center and accessing services. So I just want to clarify that we didn't ask the teens about their own specific behavior. Many of them closed that as part of their discussions, but that was not the purpose of the study. So for those of you that aren't as aware, why are we focusing on older teens? They account for the majority of teen births nationally, and they account for an even higher percentage of the 2013 teen pregnancies in our intervention county. And there are obviously social costs that provide reasons for intervening. And I also want to comment that, for those of you that aren't familiar with this population, is that the 18 to 19-year-olds are somewhat in a no-man's land when it comes to research and interventions. There's a lot of research and interventions aimed at 18 to 24-year-olds or to middle school students or students in high school. We conducted 4 focus groups with 21 females age 18 to 19. One of the groups was from the teen clinic client population, because we were interested in understanding what is it that brought them to services. And then the other 3 groups were recruited at large and by snowball sampling, where we asked people to refer their friends. It's very hard to find these just 18 to 19-year-olds in a smaller community, both for intervention, for bringing intervention services, and also just for recruiting for study groups. Earlier in the project, we did more focus groups. We had a much larger sample. We had some 18 to 19-year-olds in there, but they were predominantly 15 to 17. Our sample was somewhat overrepresentative of African American population, and during questions later, I can give you reasons why I think that happened. 90% of them indicated that they live with their parents as their permanent residence, but many of them were in school and did not live at home, and only 10% were neither working nor in school. So I just want to focus mainly on our findings. And as I've read more of the market research about this population, it's not so surprising that parents play a role, but it was somewhat surprising to me, given that they are older teens. I have just for my presentation mainly put up representative quotes for you, but parents were identified as facilitators for accessing services, but more commonly they were cited as barriers. The main barrier was just fear of parental disapproval. They'll be more. I'll show you some more comments later about being afraid that people would know why they were there and tell their parents. And I really like this quote because as we began to hear throughout the groups that about the theme of fear of parental disapproval, I began to ask in the groups for clarification about whether the fact that parent disapproval, whether that was a barrier for having sex. I just love the way I got these responses where the young woman rolled her eyes and said, let me break it down for you. Parent disapproval was more having to do with the risk of getting caught. And I know there's some research on how adolescents weigh their risks, and this is one way it gets operationalized. Parent disapproval was the most frequently described barrier, and then side effects was the second, and that's probably not surprising to those of you who work in the field. But what was interesting to me was the amount of information that they had on side effects. It wasn't that one participant would give one reason. It was typically a participant in the focus group would list four or five methods and the type of side effects. So they had a list running through their heads. We asked them specifically about IUDs and hormonal implants, the earlier question about LARC, the long-acting reversible contraceptives. Because those are recommended to be the most effective methods for this population. They expressed a lack of knowledge about these methods, and they also expressed a fear of insertion. And I just recently read an article about fear of insertion being a big concern for 18 to 24-year-olds, and the fact that many providers, when they're trying to counsel about these methods, talk about how effective they are, but they're not addressing the concern about fear of insertion. Another big finding, which is not so atypical for this population, is the lack of anonymity. And then again, being concerned that it'll get back to their parents, and then also being concerned about what it means in terms of their reputation, or what people think about them. A few of the participants, we did ask them if they knew about the Teen Wellness Center, and we got mixed responses. About half thought that their peers knew where to access services. And a few of the participants, I thought, very wisely pointed out that they might know where to go, but they don't know anything about the process of accessing services. So we also, prior to the focus groups, asked the young women to complete a quantitative form where we listed the top reasons from the literature about why adolescents don't access contraceptive health services. And we asked them to rank them in terms of whether these reasons were true for most of their friends, some of their friends, none of their friends, and that their responses align well with what we ended up hearing in the discussions, that they were afraid, obviously, about the parents and the side effects. And what was interesting to me was, there's a lot of information out there, and it just may be our population is different than young people in different geographic settings, but the whole notion of being fatalistic or wanting to have a baby was very lowly rated in this sample. So then our investigation, what we were really interested in on behalf of the project staff was how to reach older teens in the community. And one of our surprising findings to us was that their most frequently mentioned method were face-to-face interventions. And I think we had thought it would be social media, but that's not reflective of the comments that we heard. We did ask them about social media. Our project does have a social marketing campaign. We have a website, the playbook. It has links to making an appointment at the Teen Wellness Center. And then there's also a playbook presence that has the same information. One of the things that we learned was that they don't all use social media, that there was no one method media market platform that was mentioned. They're very fragmented in their use of social media. For those of you that are more savvy than I am, I just learned in our particular community that they're not using Twitter anymore, and they've moved on to Instagram. So it's very hard to keep up with that. And another thing that we learned was that the teens themselves be the people that are leading any of the social marketing campaign. So we all are out there saying, like our organization, and I don't think that's going to get us very far. Probably most of you would have already figured this out, but you know, they really are on their phones, so the whole website thing was probably not a good idea on our part. In terms of messages, this was also interesting to me, was that the most common responses we heard was to use a more reality-based message. You know, I come to learn that fear-based messages are not good for this population, but I think this is a subtle distinction that these young people grew up in the reality TV generation. We have many limitations to this study, but one of them is that, or it could be viewed as a limitation, is that none of them had any experience with being pregnant themselves, or they didn't disclose that. But many of them disclosed having friends that were pregnant and telling that story and how that impressed upon them. I didn't add all the limitations, but some of them we didn't ask them directly about their personal experiences with using birth control, but some of them commented they had. These are probably not representative of all teens. It's a small sample. It's a certain segment of the geographically. Just to summarize that parents can be facilitators or perhaps not even meaning to be, or it can be barriers. As we kept hearing more and more comments about their fear of parental disapproval, I have to say it ran through my mind. I wonder how many of those parents had any idea that they were actually serving in those roles. It's important to address older teens' concerns about side effects and discomfort with LARC insertion. This is pretty well shown in the literature that clinic environments need to ensure anonymity. Don't rule out face-to-face communication and using older teens as messengers. And in terms of the anonymity, I want to comment that where that Teen Wellness Center is located, just prior to that, it was still in the health department setting, and this may be true for what many of you work with as well, but all the services for the adolescents were physically separated in the facility. So if you had an STI, you sat in one waiting room. If you were there for birth control, you sat in another waiting room. If you were there just for a checkup, you sat in yet another waiting room. So all those comments about people will know why I'm here and talk about me, they came from a very real place. And part of our project helped to support the development of the full service come for any reason, come to that nice waiting room area. And then just acknowledgments for funding.
Anybody with a clarifying question? Yes, ma'am.
For the focus groups?
Right.
Well, we offered what I think was a pretty nice size incentive. I didn't mention that. We offered a $50 incentive, and we mainly, so for the clinic users, we got them from clinic staff who asked permission. But for the population at large, it was a mix of just putting up flyers all over town. And then we already had, we tried to get 18-year-olds in the first year of our study, and this occurred in summer of 2013, which was about 2.5 years in, and we got a lot of partners and stakeholders that were involved to get the word out for us, and it was a little of both. And then from the second and third focus groups, we asked the participants to recommend friends that we could contact. So we really had to go out and beat the bushes. But I think ethically at age 18, we didn't need their parent permission to participate.